All right, beginning here on the bottom of Mem Tet Amud Bet by the two dots, the Gemara here is going to explain the difference in the opinion between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon as to the severity of the punishments that Beit Din can impose. And the Gemara says, Skila chamuram sreifa. How do we know that Skila is more severe or a harsher punishment than sreifa? Kain nitna de migadeif or the oved avodat gililim, because that is the punishment met out to someone who curses Hashem or someone who worships avodah zarah. My chumra. So what is the severity or the harshness of this punishment? Shekein poshet yado biikar. This is someone who denies belief in God. These are fundamentals of the faith that a person is denying. And therefore, the punishment associated with them would probably be the harshest of punishments. Adarabo. Maybe we should say sreifa chamura. Sreifa is more severe punishment. Shekein nitna the bat kohen shezinta. Because it's given to a bat kohen who has nut, and she's punished specifically with sreifa. Umay chumra. What's the chumra that's associated with it? She came mechalelet et avia. She profanes her father. So we'll see later on, Rashi's quoting the Jerusha already, that an individual whose daughter is mizana, if he's a kohen, meaning that it's a bad kohen that is mizana, if a bad kohen is mizana, it affects her father's standing as a kohen. If they treated him as kodesh before, they downgrade him, or they remove his status as a Kohen, and they don't treat him as a Kohen anymore. So here, if someone does an action that not only has impact on themselves, but has impact on others, they're able to change the status of another party. So that sounds like that's a pretty harsh punishment or severe issue. Kasavi Rabbanan, Nisua Yotza B'Sreifa V'lo Arusa. Rabbanan believe that only a Bat Kohen who is Nisua gets a punishment of Sreifa, whereas a bat kohen arusa does not. And since the Torah says specifically that an arusa has the punishment of skila, shmamina skila chamura. From here you would conclude that skila is more chamur. Taking a step back to understand this, the punishment for adultery is chenek. That is, a regular case of adultery, it doesn't matter who's performing the adultery, as long as it's a fully consummated marriage, and nisua, then the punishment for adultery is chenek. On the other hand, the punishment for adultery when a woman is in nara hameurasa, when she is only halakhically engaged, when she is not married, that nara hameurasa, the punishment is skila. It's clear, and we'll see that in the Gemara as well, that the severity of a nara hameurasa is more significant than that of a adultery from nisua. The reason being that the woman is a betula at that point in time. And so there's the additional aspect of pagam. Not only is she affecting herself, her family, but there's also the aspect of pagam that is involved. So the nara murasa, who has an adulterous affair, is subject to skila. A normal adulterous affair when a person is married is subject to a chiyuv mita of chenek. Now, we have the parshia in Emor that speaks about a bat kohen. It says that a bat kohen gets sreifa. The Bat Kohen is clearly of a higher stature, and the Torah is coming to punish her in a more severe way because she is et aviyahi mechalelet. She's profaning her father. The question is, where does it have application? Does it have application by a case of an adulterous affair where they're married? Or does it have application by the case of where she is halakhically engaged in arusa? So what the Gemara says is the Rabbanan's position is that this only applies to nisu'ah, and not to a naram murasa. The reason being, and that's what the Gemara is reflecting on, is because we only do give the punishment of sreifa to the bat kohen when it's an upgrade, a more severe punishment than otherwise would have been given. So in the case of nisua, where the punishment would have been chenek, then to give a bat kohen sreifa is a more severe punishment. Everybody agrees that sreifa is more chamura than chenek. And so, in that case, the bat kohen will get that more severe punishment. The other hand, when it comes to an arusa, the arusa is already subject to the punishment of skila. So now you have bat kohen getting sreifa. If you actually gave the bat kohen sreifa now, you'd be downgrading her from a punishment of skila to sreifa, which doesn't make sense. The whole point of the bat kohen being singled out is that she's getting a more severe punishment because she is mechalelet et avia. So through that, the chachamim prove that the fact that skila is more chamura than sreifa, which is the following. A normal adulterous affair when a woman is nisua gets chenek. Bat kohen gets sreifa, which is an upgrade. The other end, by Nara Murasa, who gets Skila, there we don't say she gets Srefa. Because if she got Srefa, that would be a downgrade. So we leave it the way it is, and she only gets Skila, and not Srefa. What that proves is that Skila is more Chamura than Srefa. Rashi already notes this over here, that all of this logic is circular in nature. Because we're trying to prove that Skila is more Chamura than Srefa. The Gemara says, oh, we'll prove it from the fact that by Nara Murasa, we don't change the punishment from Skila to Srefa. That shows you that Skila is more Chamura. But why don't we change the punishment by Nara Murasa from Skila to Srefa? Because Skila is more Chamura than Srefa. That presumes that you already know that Skila is more Chamura than Srefa. If you didn't know that, you could have assumed that Srefa is more Chamura, which is what Rabbi Shimon does. And then you would change. Even by Narusa, you would change from Skila to Srefa. So it turns out that the logic that is being proposed over here is circular, because you're trying to prove it from Arusa, but Arusa is premised on the fact that Skila is more Chamura than Srefa. So Rashi says that the Ikar Limud over here stems from Poshet Yado Bikar. Is that someone who violates the fundamentals of the faith? This is someone who denies belief in God, whether it's worshipping Avodah Zarah, cursing God. That punishment has got to be the most severe of punishments. And that, since that punishment is skila, that's what tells us that skila is most severe of, or the harshest of punishments that can be given. So Rashi says that's the fundamental reason. And then now when you apply it, you say, okay, now I know that, then by Naram Rasa, I'm not going to change it from skila to Srefa and downgrade her. And once you see that, you know clearly that skila is more chamura than Srefa. But it doesn't start there. It starts from the premise of the fact that it's poshet yado bikar. That's one way to deal with it. The other way to deal with it, like the Ran, deal with it by saying that the source for the fact that by an arusa, you give her skila and not srefa, is not derived from what we spoke about, which is the fact that skila must be more chamur than srefa, and therefore it doesn't make sense to downgrade her. Rather, there's an independent limud. The Gemara has limudim in other places to tell us whether the application of Bat Kohen, Tichel, is note, and we'll see it actually later in today's daf, they have gzeira shova of a via, to teach you where the application of this din is or where the application of din is not. And so therefore they have an independent limud to teach you that Bat Kohen or the din of Bat Kohen is only applicable by a nisua and not by an arusa, or to teach you that the punishment of an arusa and skila is the more chamur. Once you do that, you've eliminated the circular nature of the logic here, because then you have a source for the fact that Nara Murasa gets skila and not srefa by a Bat Kohen. And that would teach you, or the derivative of that would be, the fact that skila is more chamur than srefa. Those are two ways to deal with the issue of it being circular. One is to say that it has nothing to do with what we're saying here. There's an independent reason, which is what Rashi says. It's poshet yado bikar. The other Rishonim say that there's a reason why we say that Bat Kohen only applies by nisua, not arusa, but it's not mentioned here. But that limud would teach us that a Bat Kohen doesn't get Srefa by Arusa, because Skila must be more Chamura, and even though that's not the source for it, that's the result of knowing that a Bat Kohen, who's an Arusa, gets Skila. The result of that shows you that Skila must be more Chamura than Srefa. Right? Skila, Chamura, Misaif. Skila is more harsh or severe punishment than Saif, which is dying by the sword. Shkenit na lemigadeif, lo'obeid avodat kochavim. Same reason that we said before, that those that are poshet yado bikar get this punishment. My chumra kedamran, like we said already. Adaraba saif chamur shekein nitan lanshei ir hanidachat. We find another set of individuals who worship Avodah Zarah, they get the punishment of saif, and that's a ir hanidachat, a city which its residents have then been convinced to worship Avodah Zarah, and the entire city now is worshipped Avodah Zarah. The robe of the city is worshipped Avodah Zarah, based on the hadakha, on the convincing of these individuals, then that city is subject to saif. So okay, my chumra, why would you think that saif is more chamor? Shkein memonam avad. Because their money is lost. In the case of Nir Aydacha, not only do the residents of the city get killed, all their possessions are burnt. So here you have a different type of chumra that is associated with it. And now Tosafot already tries to play with this a little bit, but here you're trying to balance between the severity of the crime via the severity of the punishment. How do we know that something is more severe than the other or harsher than the other? You can look at it from two perspectives. You can look at it from the perspective of the action that was taken, and the action will tell us the action is a significant or serious abrogation of the laws of the Torah or the fundamentals of the faith, and therefore it should be more harsh or severe, its punishment. So for instance, in our case, we have Poshet Yado Beikar, someone who denies God or goes up against God, clearly their punishment should be more severe. Then you have the other side, which is, okay, I have the Irani Dachat. Once again, there it's Avodah Zarah, so it's less compelling in this situation that I'm seeing it. But nevertheless, Irani Dachat involves multiple punishments. It involves a punishment of Saif, plus a punishment of the money, the value of the individual's the possessions being burnt. So over there, maybe there is a harshness to the punishment because of the cumulative effect of the punishment, which is the Saif, together with the loss of Mamon, that is Keneged Skila, that is equivalent of Skila. So still, even in that situation, you would say that I have Poshet Yado Beikar and Poshet Yado Beikar, and then I have a punishment of Skila, and then I have a punishment of Saif. But Saif comes together with the loss of possessions. So that's what the Gemara is trying to understand here. Maybe the punishments in totality indicate a more severe violation. So yes, skila by itself, you would think, is more severe in Poshet Yado Beikar, but Yavir and Dachot, they're Poshet Yado Beikar, and they get Saif and Mamon. The two of those added together might show you that Irani Dachot is more severe, and if it's more severe, then the punishment of Saif would reflect that more severity, and that it would be considered harsher than skila. So here again, you're trying to understand the interplay between the harshness of the crime and the harshness of the punishment. And so the balance between those is what the Gemara is trying to figure out here to determine which is the harshest of the punishments that's being given. So Amar, it's Ezo Koach Merubeh. Which is a stronger or harsher crime? Koach HaMidiach or Koach HaNidach? The people who caused the city to worship at Azara, or those that did worship at Azara? Avi Omer, Koach HaMidiach. It's pretty clear that those that caused the others to worship of Azara, convinced the city to worship of Azara, are in violation of a more severe crime. Bitanya, Bidiche Ir Nidacha Biskila. Those that caused the city to worship of Azara, they get punished with Skila. And from that, you would prove that Skila is more chamor than Saif. Which is that those that are Mediach the city get Skila, those that worship the Azara get Saif. So clearly, in relationship to each other, the crime of causing others to worship Avodah Zarah is more severe than the crime of actually worshiping Avodah Zarah. And then, putting that together, you see that the punishment for those that cause others to worship Avodah Zarah is Skila, and the punishment for those that do worship Avodah Zarah is Saif, in the case of Irani Dachat. So clearly, Skila is more chamor than a Saif, even though, in a sense, the violation or the crime that was committed here was both worshipping of Avodah Zarah. Nevertheless, we can distinguish because the punishment here, we have indicative hierarchy through the fact that the Midichim get a harsher punishment or should get a harsher punishment than the Nidachim. Skila Chamura Mechenek. Skila is more harsh a punishment than Chenek. Shukei Nitan Megadei Feluveid Avodat Kochavim. Once again, because the punishment of Skila is given to those that worship Avodah Zarah, that deny God. Explained before, it's Poshet Yado Beikar. Adarav, Chenek Chamor, Shekein Nitan L'Makeh Aviv V'Imo. Because it's Chenek, it's given to someone who hits their parents. Umay Chumrah. So what's the Chumrah there? Shekein Ugash Kvodam L'Kvod HaMakom. Because their Kavod is on par with the Kvod HaMakom. So that would make it that this seems to be that the punishment that's met out for someone who hits their parents should be classified as a very severe punishment. Because of the fact that the kavod of Vivimo is compared to the kavod of Hashem, which is the pasuk that the Gemara quotes in Kiddushim, kavod et avicha ve et imecha, and it says in Mishlei, kavod et Hashem mihonecha. So the kavod that is afforded to Hashem, that kavod is equivalent to the kavod that is given to a father and a mother. And since you put them on par, then hitting a parent, you would assume is a significant or severe violation. And therefore, the punishment met out to that should be something that you would consider to be a very harsh punishment. So what's interesting here, and Tosafot already points it out, is that if a person is Mikalel Avivimo, a person who curses their parents is subject to Skila. So then, why would you then assume that hitting of the parents with chenek is something that is more severe, if already when they curse the parents, they also get skila. So now how do you know which one is more chamor? Plus, he points out that even if you say hukash kvodam lekvodam makom, then they're on par with Hashem. So now if you worship avodah zarah, then you get skila. You hit the parents, you get chenek. So how could you make a claim that chenek should be more or be considered harsher than skila if all we have said now is that parents are on par, on level with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? So then all you could argue, and that's what Balei Tosafot would say in the end, is that the Gemara is just saying maybe they should be equal. Chenek and skila should be equal because of the hekesh between kvod makom and kvod of parents. And since by Hashem skila is given, so too by chenek given by parents, they should be considered of an equal nature. So that's what he suggests the Gemara's question is. In addition, it might be that the Gemara's question about chenek might stem from the fact that mikalela vivimo gets skila, and that makea vivimo gets chenek. So that might be the question. If you have makea vivimo and you have mikalel vivimo, and these are the punishments, one is skila and one is chenek, maybe it's saying to you that those two are of equal nature because of the fact that they're met out for these two issues by parents, whose kavod is hukash, no kodesh baruch hu. So Gemara says, we're not going to say that because, me'avke rachmana l'rusa bat Yisrael, miklau nisu'a bat Yisrael. But the fact that the punishment for an arusa is different than that of a nisu'a, mechenek l'skila, that takes it from chenek to skila, shmamina skila chamura. It's clear that skila is chamura. So that goes back to what we were discussing before, which is a nisu'a, an adulterous nisu'a gets the punishment of chenek. An adulterous arusa, nara murasa, gets the punishment of skila. And clearly we believe that the adulterous affair of an arusa is harsher, is more severe than that of a nisua. And since the Torah upgraded the punishment of an arusa to skila from chenek, that's clearly indicative of the fact that skila is more chamura than chenek. Sreifa chamura misayif. So now, so far we proved that skila is more chamur than all the other three. First we did sreifa, then we did saif, and then we did chenek. Now the Gemara moves on to sreifa itself, and says sreifa is more chamura than saif, the two below it. Which is, she can't now the bat kohen, she's zinta. Because the bat kohen that is mizana, she gets sreifa. So you see that must be something of significance. My chumra, she can't mechalelet et aviyah, because she profanes her father. Adrav, Saif Chamor, Shekein Nitnola, and Shei Yerani Dachat. Saif should be more Chamor, because that's the punishment for Yerani Dachat. Omai Chumra, Shekein Mimonam Avad. The Chumra there is that their possessions are also burnt, which is indicative of the fact that the crime that was committed must be very harsh. On top of that, they are worshipping Avodah Zarah. So that's also akin to Pushet Yadam V'Ikar. So Nemar Aviyah B'Skila, V'Nemar Aviyah B'Sreifa. It mentions a father by skila, it mentions a father by sreifa. Ma avia amura b'skila, skila chamura misayif. Just like by the father that is mentioned by skila, the skila is more chamur than the saif. Av avia amura b'sreifa, sreifa chamura b'saif. So too the avia that is mentioned by sreifa indicates that sreifa is more chamur than saif. So in both those occasions we have avia. By sreifa you have it, avia hi mechalelet. The avia that is mentioned by the bat kohen, that is the sreifa. And then you have the avia by skila, because by nara murasa it says, liznot beit aviha. So just like by the case of nara murasa, which we just proved, that skila is more chamur than saif, then the xereshava of avia teaches you that sreifa is also on a higher level or a harsher punishment than saif. So the sreifa of the bat kohen, which is compared to the skila of the nara murasa, both of those sit above saif. And that's what the Gzera Shava teaches you. Now over here, Rashi starts to question the Gemara's logic of going through each of these items. Because he says, if the Gemara can prove that sreifa is more chamor than saif, then by definition, skila would be more chamor than saif, because skila is more chamor than sreifa. So then I would have known automatically, once you prove to me that sreifa is more chamor than saif, then I know automatically skila is more chamor. There are different ways to answer that. One way to answer that is that even where the Gemara has an opportunity to make a kal v'chomer like that, if they can find a source in the pasuk, they'd much rather lean on the pasuk as the source, because that is more effective and that adds more strength to it when you find a direct source versus using a logical extension through a Kal Vachomer. So that's one possible way to answer it. The way Rashi deals with it is that the Gemara later on is going to show you a logic that it's not so clear that Skila is more Chamur than Sreifa, and therefore the Gemara wants to separate out the issues and say that Skila independently is more Chamur than Saif, and Sreifa independently is more Chamur than Saif. In that way, even if you change the logic of the relationship between Sreifa and Skila, nevertheless you'll still know or you'll still have in place the fact that each one of them is more Chamur than Saif. So what the Gemara is trying to do is to independently prove that each one of them is more chamur, so that if you change the relationship between them, it won't affect what you've established already. Sreifa chamura mi chenek, karoino sreifa is more severe than chenek, shekeni now the bat kohen, she's in ta. Because sreifa is given to a bat kohen who has an adulterous affair, umay chumra kidamran, as we said before, shekeni mechalala tehavia, adaraba chenek chamur, shekeni tan lamakea vivimo, that you should say chenek is more severe because it's given to someone who hits a parent. My chumra shekenu kash kvodam, the kvod makom, because of the comparison between kibod aveim and kvod Hashem. Umeavke rachmana nesua bat kohen michalal nesua bat Yisrael michenek l'sreifa, shmamina l'sreifa chamura. So again, going back to what we said before, a regular bat Yisrael who has an adulterous affair, in noef, ve'o noefet, they get a punishment of chenek. The Bat Kohen, who has an adulterous affair when she's in Nisua, gets upgraded to a punishment of Sreifa. So that's indicative of the fact that clearly Sreifa is more Chamor than Chenek, because Chenek is given for normal adulterous affairs. When you get to an adulterous affair that involves a Bat Kohen, she is given the more harsh punishment of Sreifa. And so that's clearly indicative of the fact that Sreifa is Chamura mi Chenek. Saif Chamor mi Chenek, and this is the last thing we have to establish, is that Saif is above Chenek, which is Shekein Nitan Lachei Irani Dachat, because it's given to those that worship Avodah Zarah in a city that has worshipped Avodah Zarah. My Chumra, Shekein Mimonam Avad. The Chumra here is that not only do they lose their lives, but their possessions are also burnt. Again, it's not in and of itself that it proves anything, but it proves to you that the crime or the Avera that they violated must be more severe, because not only do they lose their lives, they also lose their possessions. Maybe you should say chenek is more severe because it's given to someone who hits a parent. Because in that case, between kibud aveim and kvod Hashem, that denying God is more significant. And that's what Rashi says in the end, is also what if, tells us that skila is more chamor than sreifa, which is that poshet yado biikar, breaching the fundamentals of the faith, denying belief in God, that is so severe and so fundamental that clearly any punishment associated with that is more chamor. So in the case of an individual that worships Avodah Zarah, that's skila, and that's why we believe skila is on the top of the pyramid of the harshness of punishment. And so over here, when it comes to Saif versus Chenek, if I'm looking at comparing them, each one has a chumra associated with it, nevertheless, still, Saif is more chamor because of the fact that it's given or met out to people of Irani Dachat who worship the Avodah Zarah and who pashtu yadam biikar. Right now, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon has the same categories, which is he thinks that Skila and Sreifa are the top and Cherek v'Chenek are the bottom, but he reverses the order. He says Sreifa is the most severe than Skila, and then he says that Chenek is more severe than Saif. The opposite of the Chachamim in each of those cases. So Sreifa Chamura Miskila. Why does Rabbi Shimon believe that Sreifa is more severe than Skila? Shekeni Nala Bat Kohen Shizinta. My Chumra, what's the severity there? Shekeni Mechalalit Et Avia. She profanes her father. Adar Abba Skila Chamura Shekeni Nala Megadeif Lovet Ovedat Kochavim. Why don't you say that Skila is more severe because it's given to those that worship Avodah Zarah and curse God? My Chumra Shekeni Poshet Yado Bikar. That's someone who denies God. That's someone who is violating the fundamentals of our faith. Umeavke rachmana arusa bat kohen michlal arusa bat Yisrael miskila sreifa shmamina sreifa chamura. So here, Rabbi Shimon the Tamei, Rabbi Shimon is the shita to damar achat arusa v'achat nisua. And when it comes to a bat kohen, it doesn't matter whether she's an arusa or a nisua. The punishment for an adulterous affair for her is sreifa. And then the Afkei Rachman al Arusa Bat Kohen Michlal Arusa Bat Yisrael. And therefore, if you give a Bat Kohen who's an Arusa Sreifa, instead of the Skila that goes to a Bat Yisrael, went from Skila to Sreifa, Shmemina Sreifa Chamura. So this is a key difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, because Rabbi Shimon believes that a Bat Kohen gets the punishment of Sreifa, both when she is an Arusa, as well as when she is a Nisua. That means that he believes that both of those are an upgrade in punishment. It's obvious that you're upgrading the punishment of the Bat Kohen, because she is doing something more significant. She is Michalelet et Avia. So if I say by the case of Skila, which is Nara Murasa, Bat Yisrael gets Skila, and you tell me that a Bat Kohen gets Sreifa instead, that must be showing you that Sreifa is of a higher or harsher nature than Skila. And obviously the other is true too, which is by Nisua, Sreifa is going to be more severe than Chenek, because we upgrade a regular adulterous affair of a Bat Yisrael by Nisua from Chenek to Sreifa. Sreifa chamura mi Chenek, she can't need another Bat Kohen, she's in town. May chumra kedamran, just like we just said before, that Adra b'Chenek chamur she can't need another makeh aviv v'imau, may chumra she can't ukash kvodam l'kvod ha'makom. My answer is, Menachke Rachman on Nisua Bat Kohen, Michlal Nisua Bat Yisrael, Mechenek L'Sreifa, Shmemina Sreifa Chamura. That's what I just mentioned. For the fact that an adulterous affair for a Bat Yisrael, Nisua is Chenek, and by a Bat Kohen we upgrade to Sreifa, that clearly shows you that Sreifa is more Chamura than Chenek. Sreifa Chamura Misayif, how do I know that Sreifa is more harsh than Saif? Kenin Nala Bat Kohen, Shizinta, Mai Chumra Kidamran. That's what we said before, Shemechela Tedavia. Adra b'sayif chamor shekein nitan an she'ir anidachat. It's given to those that worship Avodah Zarah and anidachat. Umay chumra shekein mimonam avad, because their money or their possessions are destroyed as well. Amart v'chi eze koach mirubeh, which is more severe crime? Koach amidach or koach anidach? The one who causes them to worship Avodah Zarah, those that actually worship Avodah Zarah. V'yomer koach amidach. It's clearly the one who caused them to worship Avodah Zarah. V'kal v'chomer. So over here you have Rabbi Shimon has a different view than the Chachamim. The Chachamim believed by Irani Dachat that the people who worship the Avodah Zarah are subject to killing by the Saif. The ones who caused them to worship the Avodah Zarah, the Medichim, get punished with Skila. From there the Chachamim said clearly Skila is more Chamor than Saif. Rabbi Shimon is of an alternate opinion, which is that Medicha Yerani Dachat get Chenek. Those that cause an Yerani Dachat to worship Avodah Zarah, they don't get the Saif, but rather they get Chenek. So that teaches you two things. The first of which is, Chenek is more Chamor than Saif. Because the fact that you give that to the Medichim, you give them Chenek. And to the Nidachim, you give them Saif, clearly Chenek is more Chamor. So that's stage one. Stage two is, we already proved that Sreifa is more Chamura than Chenek. That's because a Nisua Bat Yisrael in an adulterous affair gets Chenek. A Bat Kohen Nisua in an adulterous affair gets Sreifa. So you already proved that Sreifa is harsher than Chenek. So now if I prove that Chenek is more harsh than Saif, then certainly Sreifa is more harsh than Saif. And that's what we're doing here. It's a Kal V'Chomer. Because we prove by your nidachat, the midichim get chenek, the nidachim get saif. So that shows you already that chenek is above saif. And we already show that sreifa is above chenek. So if sreifa is above chenek, it's certainly above saif. And that's what the Gemara just proved here. Skila chamura michenek. So how do I know skila, which according to Rabbi Shimon is the second gradation of punishment? How do I know that's more severe than chenek? Shekain. It now the migadei for the oveda without kochavim, because it's given to those that are poshet yado biikar or my chumra kedamran, as we've stated already. Other abchenek chamur shekain nitan the makia vivimo my chumra shekain ukash kvodam the kvod hamakom umeavkei rachman al arusa bat yisrael michlal nisua bat yisrael michenek leskila shvamina skila chamura. That's easy to deal with is that by a case of a bat yisrael nisua, the punishment for an adulterous affair is chenek. A bat Yisrael nara murasa in an adulterous affair, the punishment there is skila. So it's clear that skila is more chamor than chenek, because that's the punishment made out to a nara murasa versus that of a nisua. That all presumes, as we already noted before, that an adulterous affair of an arusa is more severe or a more terrible crime than the adulterous affair of a nisua. Again, the way Rashi explains it is, Kamuram nisua shira'a l'shamayim ulibriot uleatzma. That a arusa is bad to shamayim. She violates the word of God. Libriot, she affects other parties, meaning her family. And pigama l'atzma, that she affects herself. She diminishes her value. She loses her bitulim in such an action. So that is clearly more cologne, Rashi calls embarrassment or degradation that is associated by an arusa than nisua because of this added aspect of pigima. So therefore, if you say by an arah murasa, she gets skila, whereas a nisua gets chenek, shramina skila chamura. It's clear that skila must be more severe than chenek. Skila chamura misaif. How do I know that skila is more severe punishment than saif? Like we said until now, it's given to those that violate the fundamentals of the faith. Other of a saif, chamur shkeni tana sheni dachat, my chumra shkeni umana mavad. Amart, b'chi ezu koach mirubek, koach ha-mediach, or koach ha-nidach. Which one is more severe? The mediach or the nidach? Ha-vi-omer, koach ha-mediach. The one who causes them to worship Avodah Zarah is more severe than the ones that worship Avodah Zarah. So remember, those that worship Avodah Zarah get saif. According to Rabbi Shimon, those that are mediach get chenek. So you already proved to me that skila is more severe than chenek because nara murasa gets skila. A nisua gets chenek. So we already proved that skila is above chenek. And if I just proved to you that chenek is greater than saif, then clearly skila is above saif. The kavachomer, ma chenek shechamur misaif, skila chamura mimenu. So just like chenek is clearly above saif because it's given to the medichim, versus the nidachim that get saif, then skila there, we said already, is more chamur than chenek, because that is an aram urasa versus a nisua. Saif akal lo goshken, and clearly skila should be more chamor than the saif. Chenek chamor misaif. How do I know that chenek trumps saif in terms of its harshness? Shkeni tan lamake aviv v'imo. It's given to one who hits their parents. May chumra kedamran, may kish kodam ekvar makom. Adra saif chamor shkeni tan lanchei yonir dachat. May chumra shkeni bemunam avad, because they lose their possessions. Amar, v'chi ze koach merube. Koach ha-meidiach, koach ha-nidach. Habay omer, koach ha-meidiach. Betanya, we have a brayta. Medichei yarnidachat. Those that cause an yarnidachat to worship a rezara. What is their punishment? According to the Tana Kama, the Chachamim, it is skila. That's how we knew before, that when it comes to skila versus saif, according to the Chachamim, skila is more harsh, because it's given to the medichim versus saif, which is given to the nidachin. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Omer, this is Rabbi Shimon the Shita today, that the medichim get the punishment of chenek, which clearly indicates that chenek sits above saif. Because Medichim get Chenek, and the Nidachim get Saif. And from that, the Gemara proved already that since I can prove that Skila is greater than Chenek, and I can prove that Srifa is greater than Chenek, then I'd also know that Skila and Srifa are greater than Saif. But here it's proven by the fact that Chenek is more severe than Saif. Now we've just gone through all the different permutations of the Rabbanan's position and Rabbi Shimon's position. Now the Gemara says, Margalo Bifume de Rabbi Yochanan. This was a pearl of wisdom in the mouth of Rabbi Yochanan. Rashi claims that it's because there is no Mishnah or Braita that says this, and Rabbi Yochanan had the Mesorah about these positions. Although if you look quickly on the side here, the Mesorah Shas says that we're about to quote is the Tosefta, which means that it is a Braita, and he tells you to look in Rashi's explanation of Margalah B'Fumei. So Rashi claims that it was not a Mishnah or a Braita, although the Mesorah Shas points out that this is a Braita. And therefore, you would have to say that Rabbi Yochanan's addition here is not the quotation of the Braita, but rather how he applies it afterwards to the Machloket Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Nara murasa bat kohen shezinta biskila. A nara murasa who normally gets skila, but over here she is a bat kohen. So bat kohen usually gets sreifa. Nevertheless, when she is mizana, when she is adulterous, fair, viskila, it remains skila. This is the position of the Chachamim, that skila is more chamor than sreifa, therefore bat kohen will remain with the punishment of skila, not downgrade to sreifa. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Omer, bisreifa. Rabbi Shimon says that you get the punishment of sreifa, the sreifa is more chamura. That means that a bat kohen, nara murasa, gets a more severe punishment than a Yisraeli, a Bat Yisrael, Arusa. She gets skila, and we upgrade the Bat Kohen to Sreifa, because Sreifa is more Chamura, according to Rabbi Shimon. Here is the question that you asked before. Why does all this make a difference? Zinta Me'avia Biskila. If she had an adulterous affair while she was a Naram Rasa, but she had that affair with her father, having Biyah with a father subjects someone to punishment of Sreifa. Naram Rasa, punishment is Skila. So now I have two death penalties that this woman is subject to. One is that she's having an adulterous affair while she's in Arusa, subject to Skila. She's also having a relationship with her father, which makes her subject to Sreifa. Obviously, you can't kill her twice, so you have to mete out one of the two punishments. What we do is we give the more severe of the two punishments. According to the Chachamim, you have a choice between Skila and Sreifa. The more severe of the two is Skila. Therefore, punishment here is Skila. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says, when I have a choice between Skila and Sreifa, which is more Chamura, the answer is Sreifa. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Bis Sreifa. Maika Mashmalan. What is that teaching us? The Rabbonon Nisu'a Yatza L'Sreifa V'lo Arusa. So this might be the Margula B'fumei de Rabbi Yochanan, but even that is questionable, as I'll explain in a second, which is that according to the Rabbonon, you can see that a Nisu'a, a fully married woman, if she has an adulterous affair, then the punishment is chenek. But if she is a bat kohen, we upgrade it to sreifa. On the other hand, when it comes to arusa, since the arusa's punishment is already skila, then we're not going to change the bat kohen from skila to sreifa, because skila is more chamura. And what you see from that is that the chamim must believe that a bat kohen nisua yatsa the sreifa. She gets the punishment of sreifa. But an Arusa does not get that punishment, because that would be a downgrade rather than an upgrade. Rabbi Shimon, achat Arusa v'chat Arusa yatsa b'sreifa. According to Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't matter whether you're Nisua or an Arusa. Both of them, when they are a bat kohen, gets sreifa, which means that it's an upgrade in the harshness of the punishment to move from chenek by a Nisua to a bat kohen b'sreifa. Or by an Arusa who has skila, that the upgrade to Sreifa is also an upgrade, and this is Rabbi Shimon Lashita Do, that Sreifa is more Chamura than skila. What you see from there is that according to Rabbi Shimon, a Bat Kohen who is Mizana, doesn't matter if she's an Arusa or an Isua, in either case, the punishment will be Sreifa, because that's the harshest of punishments. But time am I, and what's the reasoning behind their positions here? It's just what we explain. Hashem the Rabbanat Skila Chamura, because if the Rabbanat Skila is the harshest of punishments, Rabbi Shimon, Sreifa Chamura. By Rabbi Shimon, this harshest of punishments is Sreifa, and that results in this difference of opinion as to where Bat Kohen applies. Nafkamino. What's the Nafkamino over here about the harshness of the punishments? The Mishnit Chayev Shtei Mitot. Anybody who is Chayav or Chayevet, two death penalties, Beitin Nidonim V'Chamura. We meet out the harsher of the two punishments in that situation. So over here, when you have a via, and she's Mizana as an Arusa, you have to determine Avia Sreifa, Naram Rasa Skila. According to Chamim, Skila is the more severe, harsher of punishments, therefore you will remain with Skila. According to Rabbi Shimon, Sreifa is the more Chamura of punishments, and therefore you're going to move from Skila to Sreifa by the case of a Bat Kohen Arusa. This is what Rabbi Yochanan said. The truth is that what the information he's giving us really comes out of our Mishnah. Because in the end, in our Mishnah, it says that the Chachamim believes Skila is Chamura Misreifa, and Rabbi Shimon, it says that Sreifa is Chamura Miskila. So then, what is Rabbi Yochanan adding for us here that we wouldn't have otherwise known? We could have gotten that information from our Mishnah, which indicates the difference in opinion. It might be that what we're showing is the connection between all of these items. And that might have not been as obvious that these Shitot all join up. And Rabbi Yochanan was showing us the connection between their opinions by Bat Kohen and their opinions in our Mishnah. Or in essence, he's fitting it all into the halacha that he has. He has this halacha brura, and now he wants to fit in all of these pieces and parts into the halacha that he has clearly. Or possibly here he wants to show where you can have a single act that results in two mitot beitin, and that the halacha that we learned from our Mishnah about giving the more chamur punishment has application even in a single act. My Rabbi Shimon. What is Rabbi Shimon's reasoning? And the Gemara starts with him because of the fact that we have a Braita that seems to support his position, and then the Gemara will come back to discuss the Rabbanan's position. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shnei Klalot Nemru B'Bat Kohen. Two principles are said by a Bat Kohen. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? B'Bat Kohen, below B'Bat Yisrael? It's only true by a Bat Kohen, it's not true by a Bat Yisrael. Ema, Ach B'Bat Kohen. Also by a Bat Kohen, instead of saying that it only is by a Bat Kohen, we're saying it's also by a Bat Kohen. So the Hava Mino, according to this, is Achat Arusa, Achat Nisua, which is that there are two principles here, that the Arusa gets Stila, and that Nisua gets Chenek. Even a Bat Kohen is included in that. I mean, the Bat Kohen is included in the punishment of Chenek. The Bat Kohen is included in the punishment of an Arusa, which is Stila. Then the Torah comes along and tells us, don't give the Bat Kohen the normal punishments here of Chenek and Skila. Rather, upgrade her to a punishment of Srefa. And this is Rabbi Shimon Lashitoto, that both a Nisua and an Arusa get the punishment of Srefa. So that's like by a Nisua, this upgrade makes the punishment harsher, which is she goes from Chenek to Srefa. Similarly, when the Pasuk says that the Arusa Bat Kohen is different than a regular Arusa, lehachmir, it's coming to teach you a more harsh punishment, which means you're moving from Skila to Srefa, and that indicates that Srefa must be more Chamura than Skila. And in that way, the Torah changes the status of a Bat Kohen by Nisua from Chenek to Srefa, and changes the status of the Bat Kohen in Arusa from Skila to Srefa. Zomumei Nisua Bat Kohen, Bichlal Zomumei Nisua Bat Yisrael. If you have Edim Zomumim who come and testify that this woman engaged in an adulterous affair, she happens to be a Bat Kohen. And if she's found guilty, then she will be subject to Srefa. Nevertheless, Zomumei Nisua, if those Edim who testified about the adulterous affair are found to be lying because other Edim come and say, Imano eat them, and therefore you couldn't be testifying about this case, those Zomamim don't get the punishment of the Bat Kohen of Srefa, but rather they get the same punishment as the Zomamim of a Nisua Bat Yisrael. And a Nisua Bat Yisrael, the Zomamim, also over there get a punishment of Chenek. Zomamim Arusa Bat Kohen, Bichlal Zomamim Arusa Bat Yisrael. And similarly, Edim Zomamim, by a case of an Arusa Bat Kohen, also have the same din as Zomamim by Arusa Bat Yisrael. That has to do with Tuli Mudim. We'll get to them later in the Masechet, as well as in Masechet Makot, which is that it says by Edim Zomim that you punish them Karzir Zomam Lasot Achiv. What he wanted to do his brother, Velo Lachoto, and not to his sister. That's number one. And number two is that there's a limud here, which the Gemara is going to quote at the beginning of Nun Aleph, is that it says by Bat Kohen, He Ba'esh Tisareif Velo Bo'ola Velo Zomamena. When it comes to her giving the punishment of Srefa, it says an exclusive term of He. She gets this punishment, which comes to exclude others. The others are Bo'ala, the one who engaged in the affair, the adulterous affair with her. He's subject to Chenek and not to Srefa. And number two is the Zomamim. The Edim Zomamim will not get Srefa, but rather they'll get the punishment of the male counterpart in this adulterous affair, which is that of Chenek if she's in Nisua, or Skila if she's in Arusa. Utar Rabbanan. So now we're going to make a Braita. Batis Kohen Ki Techel. Please note, the daughter of a Kohen, when she goes out and has an adulterous affair, the Gemara here parses the Pasuk and leaves out the word leads note, and says, Bat Kohen, Ish Kohen Ki Techel, when she goes out and profanes. Yochol Afilu Chalalat Shabbat. If you think that the issue here is her profaning things, maybe if she violates Shabbat, she's profaning the Shabbat, that she should be subject to the same punishment. Tamalomar leads note. That's why the Torah writes, to tell you that profaning here happens through znut. Bichilulim shibiznut. That's the pasuk speaking about. It is a profanity that comes about because of the adulterous affair. Yochol afilu pnuya. You would think that a single woman who has no relationship with another man, not nisua, not arusa, she's a single woman. So I would have thought that the bat kohen, if she has Bia, with someone while she's in Pnuya, that she should be subject to Srefa because she is Mekalelet et Aviyah. Gemara says that's not the case because we have a Gzeres Shava. Nemar Kana Bia by the Bat Kohen. She Mekalelet et Aviyah. which is the Aviyah that's mentioned here, and we compare that to the Aviyah by the Nara Musa, which is this note that Beit Aviyah, Nemar Lalan Aviyah, Malalan Znut Im Zikat Abaal, by the case of Nara Musa, it's not simply an affair, it's an affair where the husband has a relationship with the woman through being an Arusa. Avkan Znut Im Zikat Abaal, so too by the case of Bat Kohen, the only time she's going to be punished with Sreifa is in a case where there's a relationship with the husband. Absent the relationship with the husband, which means she's a pnuya, there is no punishment of Sreifa. Oenu Omer Avia Elotziat Kol Adam. Or maybe the reason it mentions Avia over here is to say that the only one who gets Sreifa is if she has this adulterous affair with her father. Because any affair or an illicit relationship with a parent, with a father, is subject to Sreifa. So maybe that's what's being spoken about over here. Shomer he mechalelet havi kol adam amur. It says that she profanes her father. That shows you that it's speaking about anybody. Because the way that Rashi reads it is he mechalelet. She causes her father to be profaned, but her father does not cause her to be profaned. And that means that if they had an adulterous affair, then the father would cause her to be profaned because then she would become a chalala. But that would be a profaning of the woman. He would have impact on her, not just her have impact on him. So that means that when it says here that she is the one who's causing the profaning, then clearly it is with any other person, not just with the father. So then what do I do with the word avia that's found here? Never kan avia, but never lalan avia. So that's the zereshah that we said before, which is malalan znut im zikat abal, avkan znut im zikat abal. That was the Havamina, and the Gemara said maybe not, and the Gemara comes back to that conclusion that, yes, Aviyah is coming to teach you that when she has an adulterous affair, it has to have a Zikat Abaal, there has to be a marriage, whether it's halakhic engagement or full marriage, one of those two causes the Bat Kohen to be punished with Sreifa, but absent that, she will not get punished with Sreifa. Rashi says that once you dash the Gzir Shav of Aviyah, then you lose out on the Drosha that we're going to see in the Afton Bet, which is that Aviyah is teaching you that if he was treated as Kodesh before, he's downgraded to Chol, meaning he loses his status. And that would be the reason to write Aviyah in the Pasuk. So Rashi says that this Tana clearly doesn't hold of that Drasha. On the other hand, the Bali Tosafot disagree and say that that is a Drasha in the Pashtuta Mikra. And the Ein Mikra, you'd say, Midei Pshuto. So that Pshat, or that Drasha will exist even if you believe that you use Aviyah for a Gzeira Shav over here. So maybe you would have to limit then the case of Bat Kohen to only a case of Nara Murasa. Avka Nara V'Yarusa. Nara V'Hi Nisua. If she's a Nara, but she's fully married. O Bogeret V'Yarusa. She's not a Nara, but she is halakhically engaged. Bogeret V'Hi Nisua. Or she's not a Nara, and she's not a Murasa. She's a girl that is older now, and she's fully married. Bafili Zkina. And even she got old. Midayin, how do I know there that there's a punishment of Sreifa? Tamalomar Bat Kohen Mikol Makom. Bat Kohen gets this punishment no matter what. So Rashi says, how do I know that Bat Kohen applies not only to Narusa but also to Nisua? Says I learn it out from the Vav. Mi Rubuye de Vav. That the extra Vav there tells you that a Bat Kohen will get this punishment whether she's an Arusa or a Nisua. So this seems to be according to Rabbi Shimon who says that you get Sreifa by the Bat Kohen. Whether she is an Isua or whether she is an Arusa, Naram Rasa. Nagmar says, Bat Kohen, Ein Li Ela Shenisek the Kohen. When you say a Bat Kohen, I would thought she has to marry a Kohen, and then if she has the adulterous affair, will it be problematic? Nisek the Levi, Uli Israel, if she married anybody who was not a Kohen, Levi and Israel, which are permitted, Ovi Kochavim, Lechalal, Umamzer, Umanatin, which are all problematic relationships. Minayin, how do I know there if she's married to one of these individuals and has an adulterous affair that she's still subject to Sreifa? Tamlomar about Ish Kohen. Avopish ain't a Kohenet. The Pasuk says that she's the daughter of a Kohen, irrespective of whether she is a Kohenet. And irrespective of whether she's married to a Kohen or not, these dinim apply. Because, as Rashi notes over here, the word Ish is extra in the Pasuk, but Ish Kohen. That teaches us that she only needs to be a batish, a daughter of a Kohen, but she does not need to be a wife of a Kohen. So Rashi says that the premise of the Braita here is, number one, how do I know that Bat Kohen applies not only to Narusa, but also to Nisua? Says I learn it out from the Vav. that the extra vav there tells you that a bat kohen will get this punishment whether she's an arusa or a nisua. Rashi knows that that's Shitat Rabbi Akiva, who says that the extra vav we darshan to include. Then we said over here that if she marries other individuals, including an Ovi Kochavei Machalal and a Mamzer or a Natin, then she's still subject to the punishment of a Bat Kohen, that is Mizana. But then, if you think that this bright is authored by Rabbi Akiva has the opinion that condition ain't tosin b'chayvi ladmin. That when it comes to marriages that involve a restriction are not marriages. So now everybody agrees when it comes to chiyuvei mitot beitin or chiyuvei koreit, then everybody agrees that that relationship cannot generate kiddushin because of the fact that they are chiyuvei mitot beitin or chiyuvei koreit. Rabbi Akiva also believes that when you have a chiyuv lav that restricts you from marrying this individual, then also there, kiddushin ain't tofsim. The marriage is not successful getting off the ground. The Chachamim believe that the marriage is successful. There is a marriage here, but it's an illegal marriage. But if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, who says that it's not a marriage at all, then you run into a problem here. And she's married to a Ovi Kochavim, a Chalalu Mamzer Natin, which can only take place if you believe that kiddushin are tofsim v'chiyuv lavin. We already said that Rabbi Akiva is the author who says otherwise. So Rashi notes that in Yivamot that there are two opinions in Rabbi Akiva as to where Rabbi Akiva says kiddushin tofsin. He says that one opinion is that kiddushin are never tofes by Yisrael Lav. The other opinion is that Rabbi Akiva believes that kiddushin are tofsin by chiyuvei lavin, and only ain't tofsin by chiyuvei lavin of she'er. If the Lav specifically is about arayot, then the Lav will not allow kiddushin to be tofsin. But if it's not, then kiddushin would be tofsin. And Rashi says that this bright does according to that opinion in Rabbi Akiva, who suggests that Rabbi Akiva does have kiddushin tofsin by these types of restrictions. Although then the Balei Tosafot go back and try to figure out, because it seems that we have multiple authorship over here, because you also have the opinion that a knuya is considered to be znut, which is like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. And then you have an opinion that seems to be along the lines of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. And then you have something that's against Rabbi Akiva. So you have multiple Tanaim that are being claimed as the authors of this Braita. So what you might have to say is, and this is what the Balei Tosafot suggests, not like Rashi, that this is Rabbi Akiva, according to that opinion that says that Kedushin are Tofsim v'chiyuvei lavin that are not she'er, but rather that this is an independent opinion that is now taking parts and parcels of different Tanaim's positions and aggregating them into a Braita. And so yes, in one case, it's speaking about Rabbi Akiva's position. In the other case, he doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva. And so you can have multiple different views in the Braita that seemingly are opposed like Rabbi Akiva, which would be inconsistent in his opinion. But nevertheless, that's fine because he only holds the Rabbi Akiva by the case of the Vav and the Limud for that. But he doesn't hold the Rabbi Akiva that Kedushin Main Tovsin B'Chiyuvei Lavin. And that way you can smooth out the Braita and say that there are multiple quote-unquote authors by having a single Tana who takes different positions from different Tanaim, but it's not necessarily consistent within each Tana's position. I mean, he doesn't have to hold up the other positions of that Tana, just holds up this particular position of that Tana. He bisreifa, vein bo'ala bisreifa. She is subject to the punishment of sreifa, but the counterparty to her adultery is not subject to sreifa. He bisreifa, vein zomama bisreifa. She is subject to sreifa, but not the edim that testified it falsely about her. They're not subject to sreifa if they're made into edim zomimim. Because of the principle, he bisreifa. She gets it, and not these other individuals. Beleazar omer et avia bisreifa, et chamia biskila. So here, Rabbi Elazar says something which doesn't seem to be non sequitur to the Braita, but he makes the statement that when it comes to an adulterous affair with her father, she's subject to sreifa. She has an adulterous affair with her father-in-law, then she's subject to skila. And then tomorrow we'll start with the amamar here, which will then go back and dissect this whole breita that we brought, and try to understand the havaminas and the conclusion of the breita all along. So we're going to stop here, six lines down on the top of Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph.